Would you build a house without a foundation? Would you have a child and not name it? Would you let a stranger squat on your property? No, of course not. So why should the internet be any different? Every week, speak with top domain experts. Learn how to make money with domains. Know your legal rights. Each week, join our expert host to be master of your domain. Right here on Domain Masters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Domain Masters, broadcasting live from the show floor at Webmaster World in New Orleans. I sent out a sincere apology for the change in schedule. Obviously, we were supposed to be on yesterday, and we wanted to schedule the event around where we'd have the most crowd and draw the most audience, and also around sessions. And so we just left a big, huge super session with Tim Meyer and the Matt Cutts from Google and the folks from Ask Jeeves and MSN Search. And so we have some information about domain names to go over a little bit. And I have several great companies that are in the internet space, Monster Commerce and Life Tips and Textlinks Ads and several domainers that we're going to be talking to during the show. My first guest is Chris Ramondi, who happens to be a domainer for some period of time, a long time, I guess, and he owns about 3,000 domain names and has spoken on several sessions at this conference and has in the past, and just wanted to welcome to the show. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Give me your take on how Webmaster World has been for you and some of the sessions you were on, some of the important issues that came out from your discussions.
Well, I really enjoy the Webmaster World sessions, mainly because it lets me network with my friends. I don't really consider these business meetings, more friendly get-togethers. As far as things I learned, I did learn some stuff from the domain perspective. I'm getting some ideas about, like, for instance, that I'm going to use your domain parking service for. I also think that the idea that I've noticed it on television, that companies seem more and more willing, and people seem more and more willing to advertise and use longer longer URLs. And I think that's just, I don't think there was any reason why people couldn't do it before. I guess nobody wanted to be the first one to do it. And now
people shied away from long URL long URLs because they didn't think people would type them in. But we've heard clear at this show that not only are they typing in very long and multiple word phrases into search engines, but they're also using it for domain names to get exactly where they want to go. So long words are good.
Yes, I would say that's true. And what you had pointed out in I believe it was one of your sessions, that the conversion is also, I think, better as well.
Right. It's a higher conversion for PPC and for click-through rates because if people are typing in exactly what they want in their domain name and they arrive at their destination, they're more likely to click on the next ad and maybe purchase a product or sign up for an account or whatever at one of the advertisers.
Yes, it's extremely filtered traffic. You might not be getting, obviously, for every word you add, you're getting less and less, I would assume, in most cases, but it's going to be more targeted.
Right, more targeted. Exactly. So what, as a domainer for, three or four, how many years have you owned domain names?
I believe my first one was probably 98.
In 98, okay. So just real quickly, what are some of the, key tricks of the trade that you've learned to have a successful domain portfolio, and how have you been successful in your business on the web with using your domains?
Well, I look at myself as more of a SEO person than a domainer, and my domains were purchased mainly for scoring well in Google, so I would either buy expired domains or spider sites for sites that didn't exist in reality but did on the sites because they misspelled them. I got tons of good domains as far as PageRank goes from using that strategy. Now that is not really a viable strategy anymore, I've had to change focus and really diversify.
Right. And so getting to the Google PageRank, which seems to be important, still an important discussion here at Webmaster World and continuing to have good PageRank, what's one of the, the best tip that you can throw out for folks that have domain names and are looking for the best Google PageRank? I know we've heard a lot of things over the years, but what's like the newest trend now to keep a good Google PageRank?
Well, I'm not sure if people understand exactly how PageRank works.
Why don't you let us know about how it works a little bit.
Basically, it's not just the site that links to you, but the number of sites they have on the page. So a site that's a PR8 that has 100 links on it, that you get one text link from is not going to be as good as a PR7 that has 20 links on it and links to you once.
Okay, so it's not the number of links; it's how relevant the links are.
It's basically the page rank divided by the number of links on the page is what passes to you minus some variable. So the more links the site has, the less it's passing. The more page rank it has, the more it's passing. So it's kind of like a balancing act. But
right. So you want to have good sites that don't have a ton of links, so they're
exactly.
not kind of link pouring out their links, I guess, and therefore their quality links that the 20 really qualified links are going to your benefit because
exactly. Okay. And you were talking when you said PageRank whoring. It reminds me of PageRank hoarding, where people don't want to give any of their PageRank away, so they try to keep it all within their site or all within their network. And that used to be a great strategy. I mean, I never traded any links, and I still don't trade links, but I link to sites outside my own network
right.
to basically help theme the site. And it used to be that Google totally was related to three things: title, page rank, and anchor text. And if you had those three things, I mean, I could have a site with page rank and anchor text that had a default page from the default server page with no title on it or anything, and be ranked extremely high on Google.
Right.
That was the only three variables that mattered. But now it's so much different, and one of the big variables is who you link to. So you definitely don't want to try to go overboard with your being an anal page rank master.
Right, definitely. All right, well, great. Anything else you can share with us about the show and what you're expecting to get out of it? And
I don't know if you wanted to mention about what we learned from Tim and Matt.
Yeah.
As far as we were trying to figure out whether Google and Yahoo were going to penalize people for using the after the Google patent became public knowledge, a patent application. People were wondering whether who is using the privacy service is going to affect you, and I was wondering about that as well, and I had my own theories on it, but you decided to ask them. And
Right. Well, I asked Tim Meyer this morning during his talk with the whole audience. After the audience broke away, I asked him directly, does Yahoo have any... Do they give any negative effect to who is privacy at all? Because it's been a big question here at the conference. How, if someone protects their identity, are they really hiding something that they're doing bad? And if Google and Yahoo really take that perspective first before thinking that's a legitimate person? And the answer is that Yahoo absolutely does not look at it. It does not have a negative effect. And then in front of the entire audience, I personally asked Matt Cutts from Google the same question, and he said that absolutely not, that he recognizes that who is privacy is a legitimate service. But if you're already... blacklisted and your site's blacklisted and you have Whois privacy, you're more suspect in the future to have potential problems. So they look at it, but only after the fact that you're dinged already. So that's a good sign that Whois privacy doesn't negatively affect you right off the bat.
Yes.
So good. Well, we really appreciate your time, Chris. I know you got to get to bed and take a little nap so you can party with us tonight.
Yes.
Moniker and Webmaster Radio and TechSleaks Ads and Monster Commerce.
Where's that party?
We're throwing a big bash tonight at Bourbon Street Blues Company on Bourbon Street. And we're going to have a great time from 7 to 9, free drinks. Everybody's going to get schnockered and listen to some blues. We're going to break away for a little commercial right now and be back with Monty Lurie from... who goes as ad man on the chat room, and then we're going to talk to Stephanie Leffler from Monster Commerce. Stay tuned.
A rose by any other name would still be the same.
Move over, Shakespeare. You need to differentiate yourself from your competition. Do it by aligning yourself with a company who has earned the trust of Jupiter Media, the NHL, and Lionsgate Films, among others. Moniker.com is the most secure ICANN-accredited register on the planet, offering you domain registration, hosting, domain sales, and acquisition services. Wrap that up with 24/7 support. That's your winning combination, MONIKER.com. More than a name.
Commercials off. Now back to
Domain Masters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Domain Masters. I'm Monty Khan. My next guest is Monty Laurie. Happens to have the same first name as me, spelled different, though, M-O-N-T-Y. And Monty is also commonly known as Adman on the chat, on Webmaster Radio chat. Very supportive of webmasterradio.fm and very supportive of Domain Masters. So, Monty, tell us a little bit about where you're from and what you do, and tell us why you like Webmaster Radio FM so much.
Well, I'm from a webmaster from Regina, Saskatchewan, in Canada. So it's a small town in Saskatchewan, in the middle of nowhere, up north. And we're building websites, and you know, like everybody else. But so I was in Las Vegas when Darren and Brandy started the Webmaster Radio and
the
kicked it off.
Yeah, kicked off here at Webmaster World in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, and so I've been listening. I really heavily started to listen to them in March. And I was like, oh, my goodness, because everybody, you know, if you're a webmaster, kind of, you're maybe sitting at your desk, you're isolated, you don't know lots of webmasters and people that do this type of business.
Right.
So I immediately got on there, and I was like, oh, my goodness, they're speaking my language. I almost cried. It was pretty good. So then all of the programs that they've got, I've learned so much in the last 3 months.
Right, some really great programs. What are your favorite programs that you listen to?
There's the Rainmaker, Domain Masters.
Yeah.
I just listened to them. I don't know what they're called.
SEO rock stars.
SEO Guru says, get on the feed, folks. And I get on the feed right away.
Well, that's good. And so you're actually learning things from being part of the network and the community then.
Right. And as well, I get on the lounge on webmasterradio.fm, get on the lounge and talk to people there. And they've been very helpful. And just even the things that they mentioned, and they put up links and stuff like that. And I go look at them and I go, oh, my goodness, I never knew about this stuff. So
right.
It really takes the isolation away. And it creates a nice little community and a forum there.
Well, that's great. That's great. So if you had to tell other webmasters out there, and you're fairly new in the market, you mentioned, but if you had to give some of your associates and some of your cohorts a tip about how to be more successful on the web, what would you say that you've learned, or what could you pass along to others that would make others successful because of some lessons you've learned?
Well, basically, what I've learned at this Webmaster World Conference is good content. Be an opinion leader. And that's going to win the day ultimately. I thought before maybe try to do a little bit of black hat and gray hat and white hat and mix them all together. But I think spending the time I would spend in black hat, which is kind of like forcing your way in.
Right.
Spending the time in white hat and doing really good quality opinion leader type stuff is really going to say, you know, help the day, because it's ultimately good content and, you know,
done the right way.
Very, very respectable.
Right, right. So if there's the tip that you could give is that, you know, probably do things more white hat, gray hat to white hat than black
hat.
Well,
when we saw the leaders at Yahoo and Google and Ask Jeeves and MSN, basically they seem like they're developing a lot of algorithms that are cramping down on spamming and that sort of thing. So it's not going to be as effective or profitable.
Right.
It's
right.
Or it seems like.
Great, great. Well, we really appreciate your time today, Monty, and I'm glad that you're a webmasterradio.fm supporter and also a Domain Master supporter. It was nice to meet you in person as well. Is there anything else that you'd like to say about the show or the radio show?
Yeah, I just have to tell everybody, go to webmasterradio.fm, listen to it, spend a couple of weeks at it, and listen to the shows. They're all very well timed. They usually have them after work hours. And it's worth your while, and it's going to make you more money and a better webmaster.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot, Monty, and join us for our party tonight. I'm sure you'll be there with bells on, right?
And just as a note, I dubbed Darren CXO, which is Chief Excitement Officer.
All right. He is exciting, too. Well, my next guest is one of my favorite people, Stephanie Leffler from Monster Commerce, one of the only e-commerce solutions that is SEO-friendly. And Stephanie's basically worked herself up the ranks in the webmaster community and did a lot of mods this time. And I don't think you even spoke. You just moderated, right? Or did you get to speak?
No, they wouldn't even let me speak. I just made sure that everybody else towed the line this time.
Right. So of the sessions that you spoke at, give us a little bit of an overview of some of the sessions that you moderated and some of the key things that came out of those, and then we'll talk a little bit about Monster Commerce.
Sure. Well, the first session that I want to bring up is the European SEO section. You know, not necessarily the most applicable to U.S. SEOs, but it was a great chance to get an overview overview of what's going on in the European market and how quickly it's growing, and you know, the potential opportunities that are out there in that market. Thomas B. gave everybody a German lesson, which was something new for Webmaster World, so that was kind of exciting.
How are European SEOs managing with like a European Union and across across their country borders? Being able to be successful, not only their country language, but they have to really know the other languages around them. It's much different than the United States, obviously, because we're some kind of self-contained 50 states, you know, all close together with Canada and Mexico surrounding us. But in Europe, they have quite a bit of a different kind of a challenge, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That was one of the most interesting things about it, is that, you know, these guys said politicians have a really big idea of how, you know, it's going to be the United States of Europe, and the people and the way they search and their linguistic habits are very opposite that. So they're not seeing really any synergy. They're having to do something completely different in Germany. Actually, the entire intent of a German user, different things are important to them than a user in the UK, which surprised me. Apparently, Germans are very concerned with security and personal information, so the landing pages have to be entirely different if you're optimizing the same product.
And Brits like to run around naked all the time, so...
That's right. A little something for everybody over there.
Definitely. And what about some of the other sessions and some of the other things that came out?
Sure. A couple of the other sessions, I was in a PPC management session and had the great pleasure of hearing Tor Crockett speak. She was formerly with eSpotting and is now with Miva Media. And she had some very interesting things to say as far as understanding user intent and linguistics. Just, you know, giving simple examples like where the addition or subtraction of an S or an R can make all the difference in terms of meaning, and someone who's really in a competitive PPC area can go back and look at that user intent and linguistics to come up with the optimal PPC campaign for them. Her speech was right on the money. If you have a chance to check it out on the CD that comes out of this show, I'd recommend it.
Cool. And did you do a third conference, third one?
I did.
That was like three.
It was like three days ago.
Three trips to Bourbon Street before. So one would lose their memory here and there, you know, being on Bourbon Street and trying to remember what session you mod. That's okay. Tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at Monster Commerce these days. So I had you on the show, about 2.5-3 months ago. And just give an overview of the company and a little bit about the product and why it's so search engine friendly and why you guys emphasize that.
Sure. Well, as far as the company goes, you know, we're growing gangbusters. I think we're up to 82 employees these days, which is exciting. We're well over 5,000 clients and have really healthy growth as far as new clients. From a SEO standpoint, our newest release, which just came out 2 or 3 days ago, has a lot of increased SEO capabilities. For example, we used to dynamically generate title tags based on product names. Now, a professional optimizer can get in there and create their own customized title tags, their own customized meta tags for each individual page, and we carry this through the whole site. We also have changed some things on the back end and the server side with our URLs to be more search engine friendly, and had some of our friends at MSN, Yahoo, and Google take a look at that, and our software is being treated better by MSN than ever. A lot of our customers are getting, you know, number 1, 2, and 3 rankings just from using our package, which has been very satisfying.
Right. And Stephanie had the pleasure of reviewing our new website for a couple days or so, and gave some really good suggestions on our shopping cart. So those of you that use the moniker shopping cart, and you either love it or hate it, but I think a lot of the feedback that she gave us, being a shopping cart expert, really helped us out, and it was very valuable. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
So if you had to give a couple tips from what we've learned since the last time I interviewed you to help people be more successful on the web, what would they be? What would some of the suggestions and tips what would you have for them?
Sure. I can't remember if we talked about it last time, but the one thing that keeps coming back is the best tip that I can give is to go out and find a cross-section of your users, whether it's a neighbor or a friend. Sit them down in front of the computer and watch over their shoulder and don't say anything. I probably did talk about that because I'm really adamant about it. But, you know, we still do that and find that it reveals more about our site and how we can improve than just about anything else.
Right, because everybody doesn't use the web the same way. And when people go to a website and you think they should click on one button and you know of shortcuts that they should be using and they're using something else, they could really cut their time, be more efficient, and get to the right places, I guess.
Yeah, it's very hard for us as a, you know, being in the webmaster community. We are, this stuff is so second nature to us that things that are so glaringly obvious to us really aren't to an average user. And so we have to get outside that mentality that we have and our friends have in this industry. You know, if you tell me that my site's great, that's wonderful, but the basic user who's never navigated a site like mine before isn't going to have the same experience as you. So getting that cross-section right. of industries and experience levels is really the key.
Right. Well, that's great. And anyone that's interested in the Monster Commerce suite of products, we are actually offering those products and services on our site through our web promotions page. So if you go to moniker.com, you can get there, and it's actually offered at a discount. So you can get it there cheaper than you could going anywhere else. So, well, Stephanie, I really appreciate you spending the time and being on the show today, and I'm glad I caught you off the floor. And,
sure,
get ready
you.
For the big party tonight.
I'm going to. I'm very excited
Bourbon
about
Street
it.
Bourbon Street Blues Company.
That's right. I went last night.
And Monster Commerce is also a sponsor with us, and Webmaster Radio on that, and TextLink Ads. And so we're gonna have a blast. And InfoSearch Media now, so we'll keep adding people, which is great because then that means our cost goes down a little bit.
Well, right. I went out to the restaurant last night, to the bar, to check it out, and they had a great band. I think the same band's playing tonight, and it should be an awesome time.
So. Good. Well, let's boogie on down. Okay.
All right.
My next guest is Mick Jolly from PR Web, and PR Web is also a partner of ours at moniker.com. PR Web is an online PR company. You can publish your press releases online. And the unique thing about PR Web is that they're search engine friendly. And so give us a little bit of background about your business and what makes you guys unique and why people should use you.
Well, people should use PR Web. Just tell their company story, for one. We reach out to over 100,000 journalists in our database, and that's journalists that have opted in. So they want the news based on their industry categories. Anytime your news correlates with their industries, we deliver it to them. But we all know that the journalist cannot write a story on everything that comes out in form of a news release or what may be news within your business segment. So we bypass that media filter, and we actually take your news out onto the web, online in places like Yahoo News and Google News and thousands of other online locations. We have at this point 220 macro categories, some 17,000 RSS feeds, 3,400 media RSS feeds. So
wow.
We can serve it up in any way, shape, or form that you need. And the best thing is, it's what we refer to as our online visibility engine, is just getting it out in front of as many eyeballs as possible. That's our job. You work hard to promote your company, make your company what it is, and we want to have your story be seen in the light that you want it to be seen. Tell your own story. Help you develop your own brand.
Right. Now, PR Web's been in business for how long now?
Actually, 1997 was the start. It was founded by David McInnes in Dallas, Texas. And around 2000, he was up in the Washington State area and decided, hey, that was the new home. So the servers went dead for a few days as he drove them north. And he put him in a co-located location called FiberCloud and relaunched the site there, and it's grown ever since. He used to have advertising around the site quite a bit, but he really put the focus on the users, stripped away a lot of the normal advertising banner ads and things that you would see, and really the users are the ones that have supported the site ever since via contributions and different service levels, and now it's grown to be a full-service newswire.
So give us an idea of how many press releases go out on PR Web on a daily basis. Give us some stats about the company these days.
Any business day of the week, you can see between 400 and 500 go out.
Okay.
And each one of those press releases is reviewed by a live editor. So it's not just left to technology to do the job. So somebody's actually taking a look, checking those links, see where they go to, and scoring that press release between a score of 1 to 5. And it has to score at least a 4 or a 5 to go out to the journalist and out on eMedia Wire and Yahoo News and all those other fun places. Otherwise, we're shooting the user a note, giving them some recommendations of how they can make corrections and improve
right.
that press release. So we want that press release to be successful, not just online and sense of getting out, but we want it to deliver a message that's going to be helpful to you and I. We want everybody to have a win out of it. So
right now the unique offering though, by PR Web is that the press releases are optimized. They go out search engine friendly, right?
They do go out search engine friendly. There are optimization services available to go ahead and do some further optimization work, some keyword research and anchor texting, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's ready to go. We put it out in a search engine friendly format. We're regularly indexed by the search engines throughout the day. I mean, it's just a constant ongoing thing. They're pounding away at those servers and And that's a good thing. There's a lot of good content, changes all the time, and it keeps the search engines, if you will, interested in coming back.
Right. That's great. Now, with everybody, I'd like to get at least a couple tips on how to be better at putting out people's press releases, what people should include in their press release, especially if they're doing it online. And, again, you can go to moniker.com and go to the Promote Your Website section, and you'll be able to go to the PR Web link from there where you'll be offered a discount for press releases. But give us some tips about press releases and what people can do to make their press releases resolve better in the search engines and to get across more, you know, more eyeballs.
Absolutely. Well, you have to take a look at each and every time you submit a press release. It's going out to three audiences, Monty. So you always have the journalists, and they're not our marketing partners. You have the obviously your competitors, too, that are, if they're doing Google Alerts or whatever, to keep an eye on you.
Right. It's going That's out what to we do. We keep an eye on our competitors.
There you go. Me too. So it's just a good idea. And then, of course, you have the audience you're trying to reach, your customer, your whether it be business-to-business or business-to-consumer, whatever it be. You have those three audiences to keep in mind. So keep in mind that first, and then have a really good headline. Your headline needs to tell the story. Journalists, when they take a look at it, and I think we're all a little bit the same way, if that headline isn't catchy, you know, we move on to the next thing. And so you want to really put some good work in the headline. And then you want to re-deliver that message, reinforce it in the paragraph of that and body of that press release. So that's important. It seems so basic, but a lot of people miss that. They talk about everything but what the objective of the press release was. And we try and help steer that a little bit. But really, good content is king, and it almost naturally optimizes itself, if you will, if you're writing good content. But it's not rocket science. So we have press release tips and template right on the site that people can go and they take a look at. And, you know, really, we also offer some services that can help write that first one if needed. But just keeping the message simple and succinct, somewhere between 300 and 550 words.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question. Shorter versus longer. If you put out a bigger press release, what does it really mean? Is it bad? Is it good? I mean, obviously, you lose eyeballs and you lose attention if it's too long of a press release. But what if you have a lot of stuff to say and you become constrained about, you know, with the size of the number of words that a press release has? What's the best way to handle that?
The best way to handle that is by having a unique landing page that continues the theme of your press release. That way you can
expand your message.
Absolutely. We have seen some really good press releases that are 2,000 words long, but they're really rare, and they have to be really timely with things that are going on in the news or in that particular industry category. We've seen some good ones that are only 200 words, but again, you need to deliver enough substance for people to make an informed decision and basically be pre-qualified, if you will, when they go to that landing page, wherever it is that you direct. So unique landing pages is very important so that you can continue that message and deliver on the promise that's in the press release.
Cool beans. Okay. All right, Mick Jolly, thank you very much for being on the show. We're going to be breaking for a commercial. Again, go to moniker.com and hit the Promote Your Website button on our site, and you'll get to the PR Web press release. And is there anything else you wanted to mention from Webmaster World?
Hey, I just wanted to add that we've moved a lot of our names to Moniker, and we need to finish that up. We've got a lot more to move, and we're glad to be there for the security and the other benefits and the counseling that you give us on how to protect our name. Well, so thank you very much.
We definitely appreciate that, and hopefully I'll have all the companies in here and all their names and moniker.
Perfect.
By the time I'm done.
Excellent. And we'll see you tonight.
All right, great. We're going to break for a commercial. We'll be right back on with Byron White from Life Tips.
Commercials off. Now back to
Domain Masters.
Hello, welcome back to Domain Masters. I'm Monty Khan, and I just continue to be surprised by my producer, Darren Babin. My next guest is Byron White from Life Tips. We had him on the show about a month and a half or 2 months ago, and Life Tips has a very unique product offering, and it's their first Webmaster World conference, I think, being a exhibitor and participating in the conferences. So, Byron, give me just a little bit of overview about your business again and what you've been able to accomplish here at Webmaster World and what you're getting out of it.
Thanks for the opportunity. Really appreciate it, and very much enjoyed the show and enjoyed the show the last time you had me on. So thanks for having me on again. Life Tips offers 70,000 tips to 3 million monthly visitors, and we're basically a content development publishing company. That's really what we do. Our focus and our niche is trying to create content that makes people's lives smarter, better, faster, and wiser. And that's really what our mission is, and in the process of achieving that goal, we also help clients boost the listing positions of their own websites and the search engines by helping their link popularity with links directly back to their site. That's a quick snapshot of what Life Tips does.
Right. So people with domain names, I mean, let's go target down with people with multiple domain names. What are some of the best tips as a domainer and somebody that's had domain names for a long time and built this business up from your domains? Give us some tips about how domainers can be successful with their domains and what they should be doing with them from your perspective.
Sure. Well, we've got lots of tips over here at Life Tips, so I could talk all afternoon. But the one thing that I really got out of the show and sort of ties in with what my overall philosophy is, you know, there's been a lot of hype with you know, linking strategy and page rank and you know, all of these wonderful different things that we all try to guess as to how the spider bots are really reacting to our page rank and how well a spider bot perceives what we're doing. In our world, we think it's really simple. In fact, stupid simple. It's all about quality content and having content on your website that offers a value proposition for your users. It's very hard to write that kind of content. It's easy to copy it from other websites.
Right.
It's easy to research what other websites are doing, which may have gotten them listed. But I think when you begin creating content, which we really do for a living over here, we start to understand that when we begin building content for a particular topic area, we're not just looking for the rich keywords to pepper in that content. We're looking for the language that is used in that profession or that topic. We're trying to find synonyms that correlate with the language that people really speak about.
Right.
So it's a much deeper understanding of content development. And we hope the spider bots, as they get smarter and smarter and smarter, will begin to distinguish between copy that's thrown up for optimized purposes versus copy that's written as a value proposition and a reward for somebody seeking information on a website.
And still, and therefore, by being good copy, it is also search engine friendly and valued that way.
Correct.
Right.
And not just search engine friendly, but again, consumer-based value proposition copy. And we're going to see a lot of dissection, I think, of copy in this industry. We're going to, you know, one disappointment, if I had one with this show, was the perspective that not a lot of sessions at this show on content development and persuasive copywriting and how to capture the attention of your users and induce a
that
call to action.
That should be a good suggestion,
action.
Actually.
Thank
maybe
you.
You talk to Brett Tapke about that, have some of the content companies here. And,
exactly.
Maybe have you up on a panel and talk about it.
Well, I'd love to do that. But the other thing that I think is interesting that I would love to hear from or get out to your many webmasters that are trying to figure out how to make money on the web is, you know, we talk about link strategy and getting links from high authority websites and, you know, highly ranked websites. Here's my take on that. I believe that an orphan link, even on a related site, is not as valuable as a contextual link that is a link that is embedded within content with words around it, before it and after it. And we
give us an example. Give us an example of the both sides of the link.
Sure. Okay. So one of my favorite examples is I'm going to read to you two sentences, and imagine in these two sentences I'm going to read to you, the word big beef is underlined and goes to Omaha Steaks. I had a big beef with my boss last night. The steak was cooked to perfection and melted in my mouth. Now, big beef, okay, you wouldn't know if big beef means argument or steak, right?
Right, right.
But it's the words around it that validate that big beef, in fact, is about steaks, and that's what helps Omaha Steaks perhaps get a top listing for big beef. You with me?
Right, right.
So that's really what we talk about. When we talk about linking strategy, it drives me nuts when people start talking about what's your page rank and what's going to be the page rank of this tip site you launch. I'm like, no, it's what's the content on this tip site going to say about your website? How is that going to relate? And one really exciting thing I did at the show here, which is, you know, we all have our thrills, and this was my thrill. I had a chance to talk with a Google engineer about Life Tips. You know, are we doing anything wrong with our strategy? You know, we're not a link farm over here at
right.
Life Tips. I wanted to hear their thoughts from an engineer, a live person, saying, "Is there anything wrong?"
Because you've heard through the grapevine, or rumors are going around, because suspected customers are like, "Well, how does that really affect page rank? Isn't that duplicate content? Am I leaking to myself by using your products and services?" So what did the engineer
right.
say?
Right, and the engineer had a very simple and clear answer. He said, let's look at one of the links I showed it to him, and we wrote a tip for our snowboard client, RDC Shop, about Rossignol's snowboards, right?
Right.
So he looked at it, he clicked on it, and it went to a landing page on our client's website that talked about Rossignol skis. Surprise. He said, this is perfect. This is exactly what we look for. This is what we want, a related link that isn't going to some evil website or some other link farm,
right,
or something bad or evil, or a
right,
non-related contextual,
right,
page.
Right, right.
And that's exactly what we learned from him. And, you know, there are theories in this industry that, you know, Bruce Clay, for example, had a theory that too many links from the same C block is maybe a bad idea. You know, and again, I don't think there's a quantified number of what is too many, what is not. I think that's leading us down the wrong direction. I think that the correct direction is the ignorance of the spider bots and the ability to try to find contextual relationships, linguistic relationships between different websites.
Right. Well, that's great, Byron. And I can say that Moniker stepped up to the plate and engaged in a project with Life Tips. And although it just started, we're hoping to see some positive effects from that. And, you know, if I don't, then I'm going to have to just take Byron down to the alley. I'll take him down to the alley and then show him a couple of tips of my own. No, I'm just kidding. No, but Byron's been a long, faithful customer of Moniker and in our services, and I do truly believe in your products and services, and so that's why we linked up to you and engaged you.
We're looking forward to showing you what we can do and the power of contextual marketing. And we're big fans of what you're doing as well as Webmaster Radio. Rah, rah.
Yeah, definitely. So what's the best place for people to get a hold of you or to engage with lifetips.com for their particular website and their project?
Sure. Visit our website, lifetips.com, and look us up. There's a nice little Our Services page, which sort of kind of gives you a feel and flavor for what we do. There's also a new link we just put on there that says Available Topics, and we're launching about 500 new tip sites in the next year or so.
Right.
So you can kind of see what is open and what is not taken.
Right. And when do we go up? We're up soon, right?
Yeah, Blair's finishing up your
so.
Project.
A couple
weeks,
yeah.
We'll launch in a couple weeks, and we'll have some big, you know, fireworks celebration in a Boston Red Sox game. And
you have to fly me up for that.
We'll take some pictures of it.
All right, great. Well, we really appreciate your time today, and glad that you participated in the show and in the conference. And glad that you'll probably be here for Webmaster World in Las Vegas, because
we'll be
at SES in San Jose.
We will.
Oh, great.
Yes,
so I'll have to throw back a few beers there then.
Right on.
Okay, great. Thanks
a
lot, Byron.
Okay.
Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
My next guest is the one and only WebmasterRadio.fm founder and president and SE guru. He also attended a number of the sessions and actually sat on many panels because of his experience. And I just wanted to get a summary of what Webmaster World has been to you and your community, and kind of what you learned from the sessions thus far as well.
Well, I thought the sessions were pretty good. A lot, you know, really informative. The crowd was definitely there. You know, I don't know. I Webmaster World, I've been to probably 6 out of the 9 of them. So I've done the London shows, and I've done them over here, and I really like the show. The show's always good. This is more networking focused. You can actually sit down, and, you know, because it's you know, not one of the giant shows out there, you can actually see people like several times during
right.
the course
and
of the
talk
show.
To them, build
and
talk a relationship. To them.
Right,
build
yeah.
relationships.
Build
right.
relationships. So, I mean, you know, the super session I spoke on was a lot of fun.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that session and the content of that session and what people learned from it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a very different session. That's the session that it's taken a couple of different iterations, and usually it's like the old timers in the SEO space. And you know, this panel was no different. Brett just changed it a little bit. I was one of the, you know, remaining old timers that stayed on the new panel, and he who else joined me? It was Mike Grehan, Bruce Clay
up there, right?
And then Oilman joined us. And basically, it was like an open Q&A for people to ask us questions about the dark arts of SEO, as well as, you know, black hat, white hat, gray hat, you know, everything in between. And it's just always fun because you watch people who are seasoned and who have been in the space, maybe not as long as us, but because of our candor, it's just funny for them.
Right.
Because, you know,
right.
we just
speak out openly.
We don't hold
care.
It's
right.
pull no punches. It's just we put it out there. So that's always a fun super session. It's fun for me and it's fun for the guys who participate. But I think it's even cooler for the audience because they get a no holds barred thing. This is reality. This is how it really is. You know, we can all smile at each other and white hat ourselves through the day, but you know, when we go home at night, we know who you are.
Because you have that black hat on underneath that white hat.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good. I also talked on the podcasting RSS panel.
Right.
And that was... And
tell us a little bit about the big hype around RSS and podcasting. It's becoming very popular.
It is. Well, I mean, with RSS, it allows people to syndicate their content. And you can syndicate it in real time and, you know, really reach out from a distribution standpoint and shove out a lot of content. And some of the questions were, and they were really good, was like, you know, if I'm using RSS and I'm pulling other people in, you know, or I'm using RSS to syndicate my content, am I going to find duplicate content penalties?
Right.
Because other sites have my same content and yada, yada, yada. So some very good questions came out of that. And, with the podcasting, I was surprised. There were a lot of people there who are interested in doing podcasting. And, of course, Webmaster Radio just started doing that. And my biggest tip for anybody who wants to get into podcasting is negotiate your bandwidth bill up front.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. I mean, because our bandwidth here, we launched podcasting in April 1st, soft launched it, officially launched it this past Wednesday. And when we looked at our soft launch month of April and compared April's bandwidth to March, we were 160 times what we used in March.
Wow. Because everybody went and started downloading the shows.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. So that was probably one of the best tips. Negotiate the bandwidth bill up front and just do good quality content.
Right.
You know? So it was great panels. You know, so far the show's been kicking. You know, they're starting to tear the floor down now, and
give us a little bit of what you've heard about related to domain names, since we are on Domain Masters. But I know a couple questions came up at the end of your session about the sandbox effect,
the sandbox,
and whether it really exists, and we talked a little bit about this who is privacy scenario,
right.
And how Google and Yahoo really treat it, if they treat it at all.
Yeah.
But give me your perspective.
That's predominantly what I've heard. It's everybody looking at, you know, longevity of registered domains, you know, is that going to be a factor, is it not, and if so, how much? And that's always a question, is how much is any one thing going to be a factor in an algorithm? You know, who knows? It's just only time's going to tell. And, you know, a couple of guys on the panel said, you know, look, if you're worried about penalizations for just, you know, re-registering a domain year after year, just, you know, one year at a time, spend $100 or what have you to register it for 10 years and don't look back.
Right.
You know? So,
and the whole concept behind that is that Google, there's a suspicion that Google looks at a domain name and gives it a legitimacy factor based off of the number of years it's registered, so that it's
right.
Not something they're going to go through the trouble of ranking, and then all of a sudden it's
right.
Going to be fly-by-night domain.
The idea is they want to know you're going to be around.
Right. You're going to be in business, so your intent from the very beginning was good.
Right.
So the length of your domain registration equates to your relevancy and your legitimacy as a business person, and that you're going to be on the web.
Right.
Know, serving
right.
valuable content.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's that was one thing. Also, .xxx.
Right.
I'm getting a lot of those questions as well. And, you know, that's still neither here nor yon at this point.
Right.
You know?
Well, .xxx, I found some additional information about .xxx, which I shared at our last conference. it's due out in fourth quarter. The cost is going to be between $75 and $100. It is not going to be mandated. It is not going to be forced by the government. The government can't regulate it. It is an STLD, which is a sponsored TLD.
Right.
Filtering though. It will ensure that if you have your computer blocked out for that extension, that children and other folks that are not supposed to be on adult websites will not get there.
Right.
And that's why there's a big push towards it, along with some other regulatory factors
right.
that are probably soon to come. But
it's a hot topic.
It's a hot topic. So,
hot topic.
It will be available. It has been approved, and it's definitely coming. It's just a matter of how well it's going to be accepted in the adult community for
indeed.
Sure.
Indeed.
So, some other things we learned from this show regarding domain names, and Darren touched on it briefly. I sat on one panel. panel and sat in another panel regarding domain names. And again, just to reemphasize that longer names that are very descriptive are a good thing. Where in the past it was something that was shunned on and was not something that would get a good value rating in an appraisal model. Today it gets a good value in an appraisal model, and it's very detailed and deep and descriptive. Even to the local level, it is a good thing. So don't be afraid to register something with a location or a very descriptive domain name, even up to the maximum character length, because what we're finding out from the stats is that people are typing in very long descriptive words in the search engine to get where they want to go, and they're resolving better that way. They're getting directly where they want to go, and the same behavior factors are coming over to the domain name. So if you type in NewJerseyCarAutoSales.com instead of autos, chances are you're going to get to where you want and convert a click or convert an advertisement and convert into a paid advertiser better. And therefore, if your PPC landing pages are geared to those sites, it works out well. There's obviously not as much traffic today, but the conversion rates are higher, and the amount of money you're going to earn per that domain name versus one that you get, you know, a lot less money on and a lot more traffic is going to be better. So. Right. The other thing we learned was that, in fact, the Whois privacy issue is not recognized currently by Google or by Yahoo as something that goes negatively against you. I heard that both directly from Tim Maher from Yahoo and from Matt Cutts from Google. And and I have Baked Jake behind me. He's going to give me a little Father Nelson, weren't you?
How you doing, Jake?
I'm good, man. Good.
Welcome to Domain Masters, Jake.
Oh, wow.
Jake?
I think yeah. I've been on the show.
And Jake was on a panel with me yesterday. Give me a 2-minute. What's our timing here? Yeah, give me a 2-minute on Webmaster World and what you got out of it and how True Local's doing.
Oh, True Local's great, man. We made some luggage tags, gave away some cash, beer coasters, decals, signed up some advertisers, got some fans. It's a great show, man. It's a great show.
Good. Good. And so of the panels that you spoke on, how many panels this time?
Four or five?
Wow, five.
Yeah.
So you're probably the most popular player.
Here. I was the call out guy. I think Brett fell over to me when he didn't have anybody else to talk because he knows I talk a lot.
Well, give us just a little bit of a 2-second on each panel. What each panel you were on that the topic area and what was valuable about it to the audience.
Well, the domain panel obviously was awesome. I think a lot of people didn't know the ins and outs of buying domains. I think at least for me, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of buying domains. It opened my eyes. That was an awesome panel. Even as a speaker, it was very informative. Did a competitive intelligence panel where I talked about what people are actually doing, and I think that stunned a few people.
Go back a little bit. What was it, a competitive analysis panel?
Competitive intelligence. So how to investigate your competitors online and how to defend against competitors investigating you online.
Oh, really? Can you throw out a couple things that we can throw out on the air?
Yeah, well, first, don't, check your logs. Any visitors coming from the search engines more than 20 times in 2 minutes are probably not regular users. Or if they're coming through specialized queries such as link and cache and site, those types of queries, they're probably not regular users. So,
right. And what else? What's another good tip?
If you need information about a website, a lot of times ISPs aren't trustworthy. You can call the ISP and ask whatever you want.
Oh, great. That's great news. All right, give me what about another panel?
Did a site review panel, which is where people just come up and throw their sites up. So, and did the local search panel. So local search, Microsoft just launched their new local search engine. And
how's that going to affect True Local in your company?
Well, we're already competing with Google and Yahoo, so.
Right. Well, you know what? In this particular era and where we are and how early stage we are in the internet, I call it coopetition, not competition. When the big guys get into a market that you're in, it validates what you did and what you started, and the whole industry grows as a result. Yep. Therefore, everybody's business will grow, and you will end up ending up with more customers as a result.
Absolutely.
Not with less because they got in the space. It just says, hey, we need to get in it too, and we need to get in it too. And so it validates it. So that's good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
So.
Good. Anything else you'd like to say about the conference? Or
I hope I win the poker table.
Okay. And, yeah, we're giving away a professional Texas Hold'em table tonight at the party on Bourbon Street, and so it should be a lot of fun. And somebody's going to be the lucky winner of a poker table, and hopefully win a lot of money playing poker.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to the party, and I will probably see you about 7:00.
Great.
Thanks, Bonnie.
All right, Jake. Thanks, Jake Bailey from True Local. just was my guest, and we're going to wind up the show here, I believe. We got to wind up, but we definitely got a lot out of the conference, a lot of good domain tips that definitely helped out. Domains are becoming more of a hot topic in these webmaster world forums and at these conferences, so it's good. It's validating the fact that they are very important, and they're being spoken about all over the place. So with that said, I'm going to end up the show, and we'll be back live next Wednesday on time, and we'll have a great show, and archives of the previous shows are coming, I'm being told, and I'm going to have to take SE Guru and my producer out to the alley too tonight, and just ensure that we get those archives up, and show them who his daddy is. So in any case, join me next week for another show, Domain Masters, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. Thank you very much, and again apologize for the scheduling conflict. Take care.